Joanna Schrader reporting live for DomesticFuel.com, and I am here in Las Vegas at the 10th Annual National Biodiesel Board Conference, and I am with James Morwood, who is with the Southern Nevada Water Authority. James, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm great. Well, James, congratulations on being awarded the Innovation Award, and we should let people who are listening know that that means you are one of the earliest adopters of biofuels, biodiesel in particular, around the country. So how were you introduced to biodiesel, and, you know, were you skeptical when you first heard about it before you got on board with the product?
Actually, I was pretty skeptical when we first looked at it. We decided to test it, see how it worked for us, and the rest is history. We started slow. We started out, we did our first test in 1998, and of course, we didn't even have it commercially available at that time. So we had a supplier bringing it in 5-gallon jerry cans, and we was using B50 is what we was burning it originally. It was kind of interesting. We had a situation where I had a supervisor come to me one time and tell me he needed to put something in the fuel so it could quit smelling like French fries, because all of his employees were always hungry. He couldn't get any work out of them. So, but it's been a good time. Definitely we've had some trials. We didn't have an ASTM standard back then, so we created our own specification for fuel at that time, which helped us get through some of the early parts of biodiesel. So.
Well, James, some people might not make the connection between Water Authority and biodiesel. So what different kinds of applications have you been using the biodiesel in?
There's actually the Water Authority. I'm also the Fleet Services Manager for the Las Vegas Valley Water District and Southern Nevada Water Authority. We utilize a lot of heavy equipment, ground-moving equipment. We use biodiesel across the board in all of our heavy construction equipment, all of our over-the-road vehicles, including generators. Standby.
So are you using varying blends and different pieces of equipment, or what blends, for the most part, have you adopted in these different applications?
For stationary pieces of equipment, such as standby generators, we typically don't go over a B5 blend because the shelf life isn't quite as good. B20 hasn't got as good a shelf life. Everything else has been B20 for several years. We did step back to B5 fleet-wide for about a year over the last 13, just to save money. And the price got too high for us. We're rolling back into B20 here next week again. So,
James, you know, you talked about when you first started this process, you were very skeptical and you didn't have standards, and now we're looking at more than a decade later. At what point did you go from skepticism to a supporter of biodiesel?
Actually, through our testing process, and again, we were using a very crude form of biodiesel at that time. I mean, it almost looked like cooking oil that had been strained through a coffee filter. And we was using it at a higher rate. We was using 50%. We did a lot of opacity testing during that time. We did mileage testing. Didn't see any side effects at that point. Decided it was a good, it was a decent fuel, but it needed a little bit more help, I guess. And so we stayed with it. We could see the light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't know the tunnel was going to be that long. It took us a while to get there, but definitely we could see the need for it, and we could see how it would help the community and the environment around us.
Well, it was interesting when I was in my hotel room this morning before I headed over for the general session. They're doing a historical look back on the Henderson cloud. And from what I've been told from people is that when you integrated biodiesel into the fleets and into some of the other capacities, that it had really had a positive impact. Do you believe that biodiesel has accounted for some for your cleaner air, or been a component of your cleaner air?
Absolutely. During our initial testing, it lowered the opacity quite a bit. And definitely with older diesel engines, a lot of the newer ones are very clean. But I think that's helped not only biodiesel, but a smorgasbord of different alternatives. Biodiesel, compressed natural gas, E85, there's a lot of them out there. And I think a blend of all them different things has definitely made an impact. Biodiesel has been the largest used one in this valley, though.
So, James, what's your advice, you know, for these people who are still skeptical, you know, who are just hearing about biodiesel and learning about biodiesel? What's your advice for those people?
I think try it. Don't be scared. You know, we started out with a couple trucks on it. I only did that for about 6 months for testing purposes. I moved the entire fleet over to biodiesel overnight. I went from 2 units to 1,200 units overnight. went from about 120 or 130 gallons to 450,000 gallons, you know. So it definitely is a good fuel. There's a lot of people using it. The entire school district here is using it. My fleet's using it. The city fleet's using it. About 5,000 users here in Las Vegas Valley, and not seeing any issues at all currently. The piece of advice that I would give anybody that's planning on going to biodiesel, they just need to make sure that they have clean fuel systems to start with.
Well, thank you. You know, we appreciate your insight and your dedication and your support of biodiesel. I'm sure other people do as well. And I look forward to seeing where you guys are at in the next 5 and 10 years.
Thank you very much.